I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
This here is the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live on the Odyssey app. We are on YouTube at the Team 980. You can also now stream us on iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. So wherever you're finding us, thanks for making us a part of your day. And now it's time for Not My Beat. Anthony, good gracious. Bro. What? See, what had happened was, All right, before we bring in Mitch Tischler, or while we bring in Mitch Tischler, Anthony, what happened?
I just had a lot going on. I'm not going to lie. I'm hitting a lot of buttons, and I accidentally just clicked the Not My Beat image.
That's twice that's happened in like the last week. You never did that.
I know.
What happened? Well, I mean, I know I was on some vacation. I came back. You were on vacation. Came back. About that time, man. Summer's almost over.
It is, sadly.
All right. Sadly. Mitchell, what do we have to do to Anthony since he can't seem to focus on the show?
See, I think this is Chris Russell's fault. I don't blame Anthony. Anthony doesn't make those mistakes. It's got to be somebody else's fault. I'm blaming it on Chris.
I think that's probably the correct answer. When in doubt at this radio station, it's Chris Russell's fault. Mitchell Tischler, everybody, Beltway Football Podcast co-host, is with us from New England. And Mitchell, I will say you're the perfect person to have on today because it seems like the best thing about the Commanders today was some of the line play. O-line, maybe a little bit more of a mixed bag than the D-line. But when it comes to the Commanders offensive line, first of all, who was playing where today without Brandon Coleman in the mix? And how did they do pass pro-wise? How did they do in some of the team run stuff? Where I did hear that Laremy Tunsil perhaps put a New England Patriot somewhere in the stands.
I think that was tongue-in-cheek, put him in the stands. But you took me right where I wanted to go because today was a really good day for the Commanders' O-line. You started with the starting five was Tunsil, Wiley, Biadasz, Allegretti, and Connerly. And we can start with Tunsil because I think that's a good place to start at. You know, I think it gets lost in camp how good he is just because he's kind of a set it and forget it type guy. But today there were the two plays. There's the play that JP tweeted about where he, in the run game, he drove a linebacker on the second level, quote unquote, into the stands. When I say into the stands, more like off the playing field. You know, kind of it was a really nice block from him, and I think for all the talk about him not being a good run blocking tackle, I think it's a little overstated. He might be a better pass blocker, but he's shown some really good stuff in the run game. And then the second play from him that was great was they were running one on one drills against the Patriots D line, and I'm not sure exactly which D lineman. I believe it was Christian Barmore, but don't quote me on that. One-on-one drill against Laremy and tried to use the speed around the edge. Laremy got a one-hand, left-handed punch on him and just put him directly into the dirt. And it was, I mean, just stopped him cold and took him to the ground. And Laremy was standing there like, okay, like, where am I supposed to go? Goes and runs back to the line of scrimmage. Now, that being said, the very next play, he was called for a holding penalty by the refs. And, you know, Laremy didn't necessarily think that was a hold. And, you know, one thing I love about having the refs in practice is after the session is over, Laremy's able to go over, talk to the ref, ask the guy kind of what he saw and whatnot. And so, you know, he gets a feel for what they were looking at. But to me, the standout today, just based on, you know, play that we saw in camp versus what we saw here, was Josh Connerly. He just looked really strong in the one-on-one drills. Stood up well against some bull rushes, did well with Harold Landry, who's the former Titans edge rusher, outside linebacker, DN, whatever you want to call him, who tried to use some speed on him, you know, but once he's been practicing against Von Miller and the get off that Von has, you know, Landry's another guy who has a ton of speed and quickness, but Connerly was able to take him and ride him out beyond the pocket over top of where the quarterback was. And then when you start getting in on the 11-on-11s, you know, the Patriots were, I wouldn't say like blitzing or doing anything crazy up front, but they were running some TE stunts and some twists and stuff like that. And I thought Connerly just did a really good job of being strong at the point of attack, but also using his head and recognizing, you know, as he was riding a defensive end towards the inside of the line to look for that looping defensive end, a defensive tackle or linebacker, whoever was coming. And he did a good job of, you know, showing that athleticism, speed, quickness that allows him to shuffle inside to the left a couple steps, turn, get back to the right, change of direction, and still be able to get a piece and get a chip on a guy who's coming around the edge there. So, you know, a lot of the athleticism that we know he has from the RAS scores and from watching him, you know, last year, I think is starting to translate over to the right side. And I think, you know, that's the important thing as fans have maybe read or heard some folks saying that Connerly hasn't been great at right tackle. You have to remember that he is learning a new position. And, you know, the biggest thing you can point to is, you know, when he's kick-stepping as a left tackle, which he's done all of his life, he's pushing off hard on his right leg, planting on his left, and getting in position there. As he moves over to the right, it's just the opposite feet, opposite legs that he has to use, and it takes a little bit of time to kind of understand, you know, what those dynamics look like. And I think we're starting to see it come together here, and it was really great to see it happen, you know, against another football team. And all that being said, the Patriots were the worst team at getting to the quarterback last year, so it's not like they're necessarily facing the stoutest defensive line. But at the same time, you want to see these guys win in situations where their head's up, and Connerly and Tunsil certainly did that today.
Mitch Tischler with us here on the Hoffman Show. The other big thing for Connerly that he's going to continue to get better at is not only is your kick step opposite, but where your eyes and like how you're moving your head and getting your eyes in the right place is obviously opposite as well. So learning not only NFL schemes, but, you know, nothing is familiar because you're on the opposite side is going to be the learning curve there. Where does Wiley fit in the rotation? He's obviously in at left guard, you said, right now with Brandon Coleman not practicing. Assuming Coleman's back and ready for the regular season, do you think he winds up starting at right guard, pushing Allegretti out? Is Allegretti going to start as long as Cosmi's not ready? Is Wiley still in the mix to start at right tackle?
Yeah, so I think today was a big step forward for Connerly. So, like, maybe I'm starting to go towards as long as Brandon Coleman is healthy, that maybe Wiley is the right guard and Connerly is the right tackle. But I think if the season started tomorrow, Wiley is probably your starting right tackle. And you see a little bit of that early season rotation like we saw on the left side last year with Brandon Coleman at tackle until they ultimately get comfortable with all that. But I do think it's going to be interesting to see how it kind of plays out at that right guard position in that kind of limited time between when the season starts and when Cosmi's able to come back. Allegretti was up and down, I would say, today, and I think we could probably say that from last season as well. You know, there are some really good reps. There are some really bad reps. But I think the totality of the O-line this year, regardless of who starts the season at right guard, I think should be a much more solid unit than they were last year. I think last year they were bailed out a lot by you know, Cliff Kingsbury taking care of them with the running backs and the tight ends, with the chips and the staying in the block, but also obviously with Jaden Daniels being as athletic as he is in the backfield. Today, we didn't see Jaden take off and run at all at any one time during the 11-on-11 drill because he had a nice pocket that he could step up in and sit and wait and read. Now, there were other issues with the offense with kind of the non-Debo Samuel wide receiver group, you know, not creating a lot of separation and not being able to get particularly open. But, you know, you hope that that changes with Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown, you know, being available. And then, you know, maybe you're kicking both Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane more into kind of a slot type role, or, you know, playing on the outside when they start getting gadgety with Debo, kind of whatever they end up doing. There's a lot of stuff that we're watching now that, you know, just kind of changes dramatically with the addition of Terry McLaurin and with the addition of Noah Brown getting back into full practice and 11-on-11 stuff. So they've looked good. I thought the offense looked good today. If you look at the four units, the Commanders offense, Patriots offense, Commanders defense, Patriots defense, the Commanders offense was the best group of the four at practice today. And if this was a game, they would have scored a number of points.
That's good. We like points. And it seems like Jaden was definitely, I mean, the line, as you said, played well. I did feel like I saw a couple of things where there were some pressures happening and Jaden was just able to get rid of it because he's that good. But on the receiver front, Mitch, it's not like Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis were out there either. So New England was down their two top corners. So with that being said, like, what level of concern do we have with these non-McLaurin, non-Noah Brown, non-Debo Samuel wide receivers, knowing that, yes, they were being asked to do more than they will optimally do, but they were being asked to do it against a like level on the depth chart on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, I think it showed up the most in the two-minute drill session at the end of practice, where the Commanders weren't able to get into the end zone there, with the inability to kind of separate or make those contested catch type plays. Because as you get, you know, in a more compressed area of the field, you know, you want your best players out there, and those are the guys that are going to go out and make plays. And obviously, Terry McLaurin is a part of that. You know, I think with both Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane, they probably trend more towards slot receivers than they do necessarily outside receivers, and maybe Jalen Lane a little more on the outside. But I look at those two guys who are going up against corners who are smaller bodied, quicker players. But if they were in the slot going up against either linebacker or safety types, I think that their quickness and their ability to you know, use their speed, I think is a little bit more effective. And so I think we're seeing these guys play a little bit out of position, and not that, you know, they might not be asked to do that during the season, but not play after play after play after play. And ultimately, if I think of Luke as more of a slot guy, I can see, you know, a little bit of what he's doing now and how it could translate if he's up against a safety versus a corner who's out there. And, you know, and that's where I think, you know, the advantage is for really both of those guys at this point in camp. The concern level of Terry and or Noah or both are not there at the start of the season is, at least as far as the receivers go, extremely high. But all that being said, when Jaden Daniels is your quarterback, he can put a Band-Aid on a lot of different problems. And, you know, the way that he delivers the football to these guys is wild to watch. You know, we get used to watching it here as we were watching it with, you know, some of these Patriots reporters and folks that were around for the Brady years. Not that they're comparing Jaden to Brady. We're not going there, but they were talking a lot about the speed with which Jaden reads the field, knows where he wants to go with the ball, and gets rid of it. They felt was, you know, kind of Brady-esque in that he was just, you know, he's so confident and so, you know, so good at knowing kind of who's going to be open or who should be open, that he's able to, you know, use his eyes to move safeties and linebackers to a particular part of the field, knowing that he wants to ultimately go to, whether it's Zach Ertz, you know, on a seam route or whatever. But Zach Ertz also today was just fantastic. And we've seen it in camp. He's just such a safety blanket for Jaden. So quick off the ball. He does such a good job of using his big body to wall off these, you know, linebackers and safeties that are ultimately covering him. And his hands are so sure. It's really impressive to watch.
Yeah, the Ertz stuff, the fact that you have coaches saying, I think he's better this year than he was last year, the footwork. Like, I'm sorry, what? That can't be possible. He's supposed to have mastered the dark arts of route running. How is he getting better at them? Mitch Tischler's with us here on the Hoffman Show. So, Mitch, the secondary has been a real bright spot in camp in Ashburn. Today, I think I saw the numbers where Dobbs went like 13 of 15, May went like 10 of 12 in their two respective team periods for the Patriots backup and starting quarterback. So are we all of a sudden like, whoa, wait a second. Is this maybe because of the receiving quality that we just talked about in Washington that the DBs looked really good? Was it kind of an off day, or was it not that bad and it was a bunch of checkdowns and let's not read too much into those numbers?
Probably a little from column A, a little from column B. Drake May looked really good. He looked way better today than, you know, the limited that I saw him last year. He was decisive with the football, and he did a good job of finding open receivers. DeMario Douglas, their slot receiver, was going up against Mike Stainer still, and DeMario Douglas had a very good day. He's very shifty. You know, he does a good job of getting open. I think as we were watching it, there was a lot of man-to-man from the Commanders, very, very little zone. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot of that kind of, you know, mano-a-mano type thing. And, you know, obviously you want your guys to win in those situations more often than maybe they did today. but you're also, you know, not taking the quarterback down. You're not sacking the quarterback. You're not, you know, doing those sorts of things. And so May had some time. So there was, you know, some training camp plays, some plays that ended up being, you know, receptions or long catches that probably would have been a sack, a throwaway. Maybe May would have had to tuck it and run a couple times. But there were, you know, individual, I would say, plays where all three of the corners, Amos, Sandersteel, and Lattimore all kind of got beat on different routes. But I think it was kind of spread out. Maybe it's a good thing or a bad thing. It was spread out between the three of them. Amos was lined up a lot with Stephon Diggs, and I just thought it was a really good test for him. Not that Diggs is going to necessarily beat you with speed over the top anymore at this point in his career, but he's a crafty vet. You know, he knows what he's doing, and Amos did a good job when they were jamming at the line of scrimmage of getting his hands on him and kind of staying in his hip pocket, kind of right behind him. And then secondly, he did a really nice job on a couple of deep balls. Certainly in the red zone, there were some extended quarterback plays, which maybe Drake May makes during the regular season. Maybe he doesn't. And Amos does a really good job of staying with receivers. And when he sees those receivers flash their hands, he whips his head around and is able to get his hands on in between the receiver's hands or on the ball as he goes to make plays. Lattimore on the other side, I thought was a little more consistent in terms of, you know, the play and the deep ball that he got beat on was, you know, kind of he was reading the quarterback's eyes, thinking it was going to be a little bit of a quicker pass, and, you know, ultimately his guy was able to get over top of him. That's one of those that I think you kind of, you know, learn from, and you see these guys wanting to fill the Joe Witt, you know, Dan Quinn style of football, which is turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. You know, go get those picks, go get those picks. And ultimately, Mikey had a pick right at the end in the two-minute drill on a tip ball from Bobby Wagner, which is a really nice play. And so, you know, we're, whatever, 2 weeks into camp. We're still a month away from the first regular season game. I think you're seeing, you know, training camp is the time for these guys to try and go out and make plays and do, quote-unquote, a little bit extra, and then, you know, kind of see what is too much versus, you know, what is aggressive. And so I think we saw a little bit of that today. The Commanders' defense wasn't as good as the Pats' offense, but ultimately I think that some of that was, you know, them playing an ultra-aggressive style, and we're going to see a little bit less of that come the regular season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then I think the other thing, too, to remember is, like, guys just try stuff. Especially if you're a guy like Lattimore is a vet, like, you're trying stuff. You're seeing what you can get away with in a way that's different than you will in the regular season. So it's really, really hard to judge how well any particular player is playing in this time of the calendar.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Last thing for Mitch Tischler. We start in the trenches. We end in the trenches. D-line, the much maligned Commanders D-line. I feel like I saw they had a pretty good day today, all in all. How did they do?
Yeah, what I care about most, and I know getting after the quarterback is going to be an important piece, and I know that's where the quote-unquote edge angst comes from. But in the run game, you are seeing a much more disciplined front four. And I think you're seeing the defensive ends are playing the run to get to the pass. So by that, I mean, they weren't running situational third and longs where they could pin their ears back and just get off and go after the quarterback. But you see these guys run, you know, working through a tackle, to get to the quarterback as opposed to running around the tackles to get to the quarterback. And that's an important step in that, you know, we talk about setting an edge and not letting the running backs get to the edge where they're one-on-one with a DB or a, you know, an outside backer or whoever. You're seeing them kind of set that edge on the outside, forcing running backs back into the middle, back into the traffic that's there. And one of the things that I like a lot, you're seeing, you know, with Johnny Newton and Daron Payne, you know, they're doing a good job of not, I would say, chasing stats, if you will, not chasing quarterback pressures and sacks. They're cognizant of needing to create a situation that, you know, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu can flow freely without offensive linemen getting to the second level to block them. And so, you know, when I think in the game, we won't see a lot of starters, but I think as we get to maybe the second preseason game and we see some more situational stuff, we'll see guys, you know, we'll see more of the pass rush moves and their ability to get to the quarterback. Dietrich Wise, who played here in New England since he was drafted, I think, in 2017, had a really nice move in the one-on-one drills. He had a swim move over a tackle and, you know, would have gotten at least to the quarterback or his hands on the quarterback. You know, we know who Von Miller is. You know, I think I'm seeing a little bit more from Dorrance Armstrong. I think you can see these guys learning from Von. You're seeing when these edges are using their speed, they're getting low as they get around the edge, not giving tackles a whole lot of body to block. And I think Dorrance specifically, I've seen a lot more use of speed, but also like using that speed well, not just, you know, being a cannon being shot at, you know, 10 yards into the backfield. So I thought both lines looked good today. I think the O-line looked better, but I thought the D-line had some good moments, and I really like seeing the discipline there, because ultimately if they can slow down the run, I would put Jaden Daniels in this offense in a shootout against any team in the NFL and think that they're going to have a chance to win. And when I say any team, that includes all the other quarterbacks, you know, that folks are thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that at times last year. Obviously, Jaden's coming out party was a shootout against Joe Burrow. So just, you know, let's give five a shot. Give five a chance. Things will happen. Mitch Tischler live in New England, Beltway Football Podcast, where you can get even more thoughts from him and JP Finley. What are you guys doing on your off day tomorrow? Foxborough is not the most exciting place. You're going to go to Boston. You're going to get down to Rhode Island. What are we doing on the off day tomorrow, Mitchell?
Foxborough is maybe the least exciting city. I mean, saying that
it's basically a neighborhood. Calling it a city is giving it far too much credit, respectfully.
Right. It's there's not a whole lot here. I'm actually flying back tomorrow. I'm not hanging out for the game. We'll be doing our Beltway football coverage afterwards. But even yesterday, had some delayed flights getting into town, trying to find somewhere reasonable, decent to go get a bite to eat and maybe a beverage or two. The places are few and far between. But the folks that have four nights here up in Foxborough, I feel for them.
Yeah, just go knock on some random person's door. Be like, hey, I'm in town. We can park in your driveway. You got a beer? And see what happens. I feel like JP would actually do that. I should probably not put that out into the universe, or JP Finley is going to be knocking on random people's doors in Foxborough. Anyway, Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with JP. Check out their coverage on the Monumental Sports app and anywhere you get your podcast. Mitchell, thank you, sir. Safe travels back, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Mitch Tischler here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, there is nobody, and I do mean nobody, I would have been more excited to have on recently to talk about the biggest story that is happening in the Commanders universe. Terry McLaurin's contract situation, conversation with CBS sports analyst and former NFL agent Joel Corey next on the Hoffman Show.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.